Last year, Adam and I and a few hundred friends of DeSoto gathered in the Masonic Lodge inside a cemetery in the heart of Hollywood. Were we there to practice some dark rite? Some sinister ritual designed to bring deceased Star Trek actors back to the plane of the living? To bring an unholy horde of undead nerd celebrities to Earth to consume the brains of the living? No, we were just doing our live show of the Share Your Embarrassment Tour. It's our review of Star Trek V, and we filmed it. We just wanted to let you know to get ready for that live stream announcement coming next week. If you're a Max Fun member and you support our shows, you'll get access to discounted tickets from membership at MaximumFun.org. So, good time to make sure those emails are delivering properly to your inbox. Either way, we'll be announcing ticket links soon here and on our mailing list that you can sign up for at podshop.biz. The Share Your Embarrassment Tour is coming to your living room for one last stop, and you're not going to want to miss it.
Priority one message from Starfleet coming in on secured channel.
Hey, Ben.
What's that, Adam?
Our viewers have asked, and we have responded many months later with an official Greatest Gen t-shirt.
I don't believe this. You're going to put that thing on and parade around like one of them?
That is correct. We have a West Hot American Summer t-shirt in the Maximum Fun swag store available for your purchasing dollars now. It's a beautiful rendering of West Hot American Summer, a reference to the time I, as like a 10 or 11 year old, went to summer camp and went around introducing myself to people as Wesley.
The boy.
Because I admired the character so much.
It's your shame, soon to be immortalized on our viewers' bodies. Henceforth.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
That's really something.
Yeah.
I mean, we couldn't have picked a more obscure reference to our show, really, to go with for our first t-shirt.
Why, what is this attitude?
Like, something I think I talked about in the first maybe 10 episodes, somewhere in that range, I think. And
I think it really speaks to our marketing prowess that the name of our show is the smallest thing on this shirt.
Yeah. Oh, we got our hashtag on there, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tweens will know what's up.
It's a beautifully rendered shirt. It's made on that super soft American Apparel, super soft cotton. It feels real nice against your body, Ben.
Yeah, the Maximum Fun people don't mess around when it comes to, like, quality of swag. Like, this stuff is all, like, always printed super nice. Every Maximum Fun thing I've ever gotten has always really impressed me with fit and finish, and I think you guys are going to like it. So you can go to maxfunstore.com, and I think it's been a long haul to get to this point. And we have our viewers to thank, and we should also thank Nick Ditmore, our friend who did the design on it. We'd really appreciate anybody that wants to spread our shame in t-shirt form.
It's yet another way to support the show that you love.
You know, back when I was in the Academy, we would follow every toast with a song.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet.
Engage.
Hey, welcome to The Greatest Generation, a Star Trek podcast by two guys who are a little bit embarrassed to have a Star Trek podcast. I'm Ben Harrison.
Hey, I'm Adam Pranica. That was a pretty informal kick there, Ben.
Yeah, we're just two chill guys chilling out and having a chill time.
Is that how you greeted people when you you met a few of our viewers at a gathering last night? I want to hear about this.
Yeah, so the Maximum Fun Network threw a big meetup for the New York hosts and New York viewers and or listeners at Stuart Wellington's bar, The Hinterlands. Stuart Wellington, of course, one of the three co-hosts of the Flophouse. And a real peach of a guy, one of the nicest peeps on the network, I would say.
If you were a Q type person and you were choosing a corporeal body to inhabit, if you wanted to choose someone to look like, you couldn't do better than Stu.
No, he's a looker.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the bar is beautiful. It's just what you want in a neighborhood bar. It's
a lot of wood.
It's a lot of wood. It's like really nicely lit. It's got a beautiful back patio.
Good
great
bathroom.
Selection of beers, great spirits lists, good cocktails, good wine. Everything about it I thought was great.
Was there an official cocktail to this gathering or either to the bar itself?
I was drinking margaritas because I have been noticing that every time I drink beer these days, I feel awful.
Oh, no.
So I've been just kind of steering clear of the suds lately.
Is that your go-to cocktail?
Not all the time, but I walked in and Dan McCoy, another Flophouse co-host, was nursing one, and it seemed like the right move, you know?
Seems like a good idea when you see someone else with one.
Yeah. I met some viewers? I met many viewers, and it was great. It was like, it was all really nice people, a diverse group, and that was really pleasing because sometimes I worry that we're just two white dudes making things that only white dudes want to hear, which is like, there's too much of that.
Yeah.
So it was great to meet like all kinds of different people that listened to our show and said really nice things about it. And I probably should have like written down people's names because I'm terrible at remembering names. But if you are a viewer and you came up and said hi to me, it tickled me to no end. And I was like a little nervous going in because I think it was the first time I was at an event like sort of officially there to represent Greatest Gen, and
kind of a lot of pressure.
It went great.
That's
it was
cool.
Really fun.
Did you feel cool? And I don't say that to make fun at all, but I only say that to underscore like sort of the strangeness that comes along with newfound and even undeserved popularity. Like you were a reason that people went to this thing. One of the reasons, I mean. And that can't be a regular feeling.
Yeah. Well, so we struck up a conversation with a guy in the patio, like, fairly soon after arriving there. And I just kind of casually asked, like, what shows he listened to. And he listed, you know, a bunch of McElroy shows and Judge John Hodgman and Jordan Jesse Go. And I was like, okay, this is not a guy that is here for Greatest Gen.
Uh-huh.
But we had a nice conversation, and then my wife worked in that I hosted a show on the network, and I was immediately like struck with shame.
She's
and I was
the
like
best.
I was like, don't do that. And he was nice. He's like, oh, I've heard good things, but I haven't listened yet. And I was like, oh, you don't have to. Please don't.
Wow. That's funny. Like, I could totally see my wife doing the same thing. Like, you're going to drag me to a fucking Max Fun event and not even say that you're on one of the shows? I could see that being a resting state for me, too. Good for her. Shoving you out onto the dance floor.
Yeah, and another nice guy I met was Steve. I don't know his last name, but he hosts a podcast called Geek Life Crisis.
Uh-huh.
And he had on a t-shirt of Geek Life Crisis and gave me a business card of Geek Life Crisis, and I was like, damn, Adam and I are not running a tight ship.
Or our ship is super tight. Like, we're all about the show and not about marketing at all. Sort of like how I run a freelance video business. Like, I choose not to market whatsoever.
Yeah, I do feel like it would be good to have some collateral to pass out at things like that. Maybe we do need to get some
isolinear like, chip business cards.
Yeah, or just like on the down low, print out some of the Bill Tilly trading cards to surreptitiously pass to people.
On the DL, I like that. I'm down.
We've seen proof now that they can be printed. It's not like trying to scan a $20 bill and Photoshop locks up on you. Although I'm sure they're working on that.
That's a thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you try and scan money, like Photoshop will tell you you're not allowed to manipulate images of money in their software.
Wow. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Is this sort of like the pig butt thing, or is this actually a thing?
It's actually a thing. I've tried to do it several times because, you know, like I used to be a rap video director, and I wanted to make like it look like we had hundreds and hundreds of dollars on a shoot one time.
Two things you need to scan a lot of for a rap video is a lot of money and big booties.
Yeah. I needed more big booties than we had on hand.
Oh, man. That meetup sounds great. I hope I get to do one of those sometime. I hope we get to do some together.
Yeah, man. It made me really wish you would have been there. Cause
there's probably a German word for shame envy, and that's exactly the thing I'm feeling.
Oh,
Schamenscheiße.
Yeah, if you speak German, please write in. Yeah. Drunkshimoto@gmail.com.
You want to talk about Season 3, Episode 18, Allegiance, Ben?
Yeah, this is one of my favorite charades that we've watched so far this season.
Yeah, you really get some great brogue in this one, don't you?
So the Enterprise has just finished eradicating a plague at some planet, and they're going to go meet up with the USS Hood to do some terraforming. And Picard, like, finishes up recording his captain's log, and he's, like, leaning back in a chair with a book and decides to shut his eyes for a second. And just then, the obelisk from 2001 A Space Odyssey appears over his chair, and he disappears.
Yeah, it's like a sky monolith, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. It looks like it feels pretty pleasant, whatever it's doing to him.
and I guess so, like on the bridge, they detect that something funky just happened in Picard's quarters. But Worf and the Dustbuster Club run down there and
security override priority one.
And Picard answers the door with like a old book and a snifter full of brandy.
Something the matter, Lieutenant?
I'm just chilling in my room.
Yeah, like nothing's wrong here.
Nothing to see. Move along.
And he pretty much shuts the door in their face, right?
Yeah. So, meanwhile, Picard wakes up in a room that's got like a column in the middle of it and four beds kind of radiating out from this column. And there's a blue Starfleet lady and a man with a Sydney Opera House hat sitting in there. And Picard, like, you know, he tries his communicator a couple of times. Nothing works. He goes and, like, tries to see if the blue lady has got blood pumping through her veins, but she thinks he's trying to strangle her. It was a very strange gambit he chooses to attempt to assess whether she's alive or not. It's like put his hand on her neck.
Yeah.
But, I feel like he could just, like, tap her on the sole of her shoe or something, be a little bit more chaste.
Like, hey, you up?
Yeah, he could have just texted her an eggplant emoji.
This set just screamed at me, cost-saving option. You know, like, it looks good, it looks real plain, but, oh, man, like, this is basically home for the next 40 minutes.
Yeah, well, it's definitely, this is a very Twilight Zone / Outer Limits kind of plot, and it really reminded me of a set for a very similar episode of the Outer Limits that I have, like, a vague memory of from when I was a kid. And I don't know, did you ever watch that show?
I did, but I don't remember the specific episode you're talking about.
Yeah,
there were,
like,
a couple versions of that show, right? There was like the old version.
Yeah.
And then there was like an 80s or 90s version.
Is
this
early
that
90s...
version you're talking about?
Yes. Yeah, it was like, you know, my father showed me an article about it in the paper, and reading about it made it sound like it would be appealing to a young Star Trek nerd such as myself, so...
Ben, we received some mail at the house addressed to Wesley. Who is that?
I'll give it to him. I'll pass it along.
Your mom's like, why do you keep encouraging him?
It sounds like somebody isn't becoming allergic to beer.
No, no. And even if I were, I would still probably power through it.
Committed to the bit. I like it. The deal is, Picard is in this room. The Sydney Opera House hat guy is named Kova, and he's from a race of beings that get their asses kicked a lot and insist on not having any enemies because they're so peace-loving.
I wrote down the name Hova, but I guess I had Jay-Z on the mind, didn't I?
Yeah. And then the cadet, the Starfleet blue lady, is named Harrow, and she's Bolian. And I guess Sydney Opera House guy came first, and then Harrow appeared, and then Picard appeared. There are red hockey pucks to be had in the column in the middle of the room that are edible, but not food, at least as far as Kova is concerned. He seemed like a bit of a snob, though. Those look tasty enough.
They look like a couple of things to me. They look like the soap that the little kid has to eat as punishment in A Christmas Story for cursing.
Uh-huh. I've never seen that film, so I'll just have to take your word for it.
Oh, boy. I don't know how you stayed away from that one. I mean, that's actually just shocking to me.
Yeah.
I thought everyone had seen it. I thought it was in the zeitgeist.
I don't know why. Maybe
you're not missing too much. It's not that great.
Yeah. If we do a holiday episode, maybe we'll watch it.
But the whole scene sort of felt like Sawyer and the fish biscuit in Lost. It felt very fish biscuity to me.
Yeah.
Which was fun.
Well, maybe they watched that episode and decided to kind of borrow from it.
The consensus is these little pucks are edible, but they don't look very tasty.
No. And you know how, like you can eat like a lot of Jell-O and not feel filled up?
Yeah.
I feel like that's what's going on with these. It's kind of like torture food.
They've got the food, but there's no toilet. And I think that's going to be a problem if they can't get out of here.
Yeah, there's no toilet, and there's also no water to speak of.
Right.
It's not clear, like, what span of time they spend in this place. I think it's, like, a couple of days, but not, like, a whole bunch of days. Maybe the aliens are just beaming the poo out of them as they go.
Yeah, if they're sophisticated enough to get them here undetected, you can imagine they're all up in them guts with a transporter.
What would your strategy be if you were in a room like that with a couple of strangers and it was poopy time? Like, would you just kind of like select one corner of the room as the latrine and whoever's bed is next to it just has to suck it up?
Well, luckily there's one empty bed at this point
in
the episode, so I think you definitely shit behind that empty bed in the meantime.
Also, the dude that shows up doesn't look like he would particularly mind a poopy bed.
No, not at all.
So there's kind of the two stories that are running is there is this kind of like psychological thriller type of situation with Picard trying to figure out why he's been imprisoned, by whom, and to what end. And then on the other side, you've got
fake Picard
wandering
around the ship. And I think both of these stories are given equal weight. There's no, I don't feel like there's necessarily an A and a B here. I think we're sort of braiding back and forth between them.
Tandem storylines. And that's not really how I remembered it. I feel like in my memory of this episode, it was going to be like almost entirely set in this tiny room.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of hijinks with Captain Picard behaving strangely and the crew becoming increasingly uneasy with the strange behavior. Like, he orders them to go find a pulsar instead of going to meet up with the Hood. And they're like, well, okay, but Are you going to explain why we're going to this pulsar, or what's up with that?
Picard does that thing that if anyone you were close to started to do, it would fire off so many red flags and red lights, which is like, if your wife all of a sudden were like, hey, Ben, you trust me, don't you?
Yeah.
Like, if I were to do some weird things, you'd still be with me, right?
Yeah.
And basically, that's what Picard's doing to different crew members for a while. He's like, you know, the crew's used to following my orders no matter how weird, right? And everyone's like, yeah, of course, you're the captain. And he's like, but if I were to do some really weird shit, they'd still follow me, wouldn't they? And everyone to a person is like, sure, you're the captain. They don't see the red flags right in front of them.
Yeah, and so like the red flags go from like, you know, showing up to the poker game to like, you know, giving Troyas up and saying like, hey, why don't you give me a heads up before mutiny starts, just in case my weird behavior over the next few days essentially starts one.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, yeah. He goes,
hey,
down.
Ben, you wouldn't mind if I just started doing Tinder, right? That wouldn't be a problem for you, would it?
I just want to, like, see what it's like. You know, I missed the whole e-dating, app-dating thing. I've never swiped left or right on anything. And I just want to, you know, I'm curious.
You know, I've been kind of wondering what drugs are like. Like, injectable drugs.
Right.
That would be okay with you, wouldn't it? Like, you know me.
You know I would not get totally out of control immediately with that, right?
And this fake Picard is...
If I went to Thailand and murdered a child for sport, you wouldn't divorce me over something like that, would you?
Look, man, whatever the laws allow over there... There's this narrow space that Patrick Stewart is operating in that I think is really interesting in this storyline. Like,
yeah.
There is acting like a good guy and acting like a bad guy. And let's just say like those are like podiums. And mm-hmm. what he's done is he has moved the space between them. Like, he's narrowed that space so that good guy and bad guy are standing very close together, I feel like. And so his acting is not broad and wild as the bad guy, just like it isn't overly good when he's being good. And
it's not like he has like a black goatee.
Right.
The bad guy.
And I think that totally works in the story's favor here. Like,
absolutely.
That was the best choice they could have done. He is so subtle in his badness.
This is not something that they would have thought to do in season one, you know?
No, but there was an episode in season one where Picard was taken over by the gas cloud, remember?
Yeah, and there are so many beats that they borrow from that episode in this episode. You know, like, but they sort of right some of the wrongs, you know? When Riker starts to express some concerns, Picard isn't like, maybe you should get your health checked. Did you ever think of that? You know, it's he actually kind of, like, speaks some logic into the conversation.
Ben, he does that exactly in his ready room. You don't remember that scene?
Yeah, no, it's exactly the same scene. It's just better written.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, this is like another one of those instances where we're binging the show in a way that was unnatural at the time.
Yeah, you would definitely have forgotten that garbage episode from season one by this
point. Yeah, that was 2 years ago, and to us it's a month and a half. It is a guiding principle of a Starfleet base. Have you gone find it
within yourself? Uniform. Meanwhile, back in the prison room, a new alien has shown up, and this is Isak of the Chalnoth, who appears and, like, immediately whips out a knife and is about to kill everybody, but Picard manages to talk him out of it by explaining that he has visited Isak's planet before. And I guess Isak is impressed enough by that that he's like, all right, maybe I won't gut you like a pig.
Isak's got those Nausicaan vibes a little bit.
Yeah, he's sort of like a midpoint between a Klingon and a Nausicaan.
He's got an underbite and Batman abs. Like the uniform abs.
The abs are built into his costume.
Yeah.
So Picard is trying a bunch of stuff to, like, deduce who the captors are, what he has in common with the other people. Like, when the toothy guy shows up, they have, like, four people, four beds, and they're like, okay, like, what?
Where are we going to shit now?
Yeah. And also, besides that, what is the unifying principle here? Like,
Isak's like, what the fuck is that smell?
They're like, that's your bunk, bro.
I call top bunk, bro.
There's not a lot to go on, and Sydney Opera House guy is, there's a door, and Sydney Opera House guy is at great pains to discourage them from messing with it, because he spent some time trying to open it, and all he got was shot with a pain ray. And so Picard immediately ignores this advice and gets everybody working on trying to open it up. And he and Toothman and Blue Lady get shot with the pain ray. And it doesn't look fun.
No, it sure doesn't. Not fun at all. So let's go back to the fun storyline, Ben, with Dapicard. Who walks into 10 Forward and, like, displays the sort of false modesty of, like, a parade leader.
Yeah.
Like, he walks in, like, the door's open, the door's shut behind him, and he just sort of stands there waving. I love that scene.
Yeah, it's like when you see, like, Trump come out on stage, and you don't see who he's waving at, but he's always, like, waving at people, like, hey, that guy, you know?
Like, it's amazing.
This is a great ship. Everybody on this ship is great at their jobs. I hired all the best people. My people are amazing.
And there's like murmuring behind him, like, holy shit, that's Captain Picard. What is he doing here? And he's like, you know what? I'm going to get an ale. Fuck it. I'm going to get an ale for everyone. And he announces it to the whole deck.
Yeah, nobody raises their hand and is like, you know that, like, money doesn't exist, so, like, it's not a big deal to get around for everybody, and we all just got what we wanted, and, like, none of us are drinking ales.
Yeah. Yeah. So a little bit out of earshot, Riker and Geordi are sitting at a table, and they are...
And Troy.
And Troy, and they're starting to feel a little bit squicked out about Dapicard.
Lander, what's the captain up to?
That's not the captain I know.
They've noticed his odd behavior, this being a prime example of that behavior. And at that moment, Picard breaks into song. After toasting the finest crew in Starfleet.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard that sound before, but I can't put my finger on where.
Yeah.
Anyways. Another thing Picard does is takes Dr. Crusher on a hot date to his quarters, where the lights are turned low and she's in, like, a elegant dress and he's in a deep V off-duty captain costume.
She looks like a wedding cake, and his deep V is projecting an air of confidence that you
rarely
see in him.
Riker-like confidence.
Yeah.
It's a smarmy scene. Like, he's really putting the moves on her. At a certain point, she's like, listen, like, this is very sweet and very surprising and very flattering, but I really think that I am happy with our relationship as it is. And he hops up and puts on some smooth jazz, and he's like,
would you care to dance?
I thought you didn't dance.
On special occasions.
Do you think he turns on the music to distract Beverly from the box at the foot of his bed? He's yeah, like,
shut up, Wesley.
He's just, like, hitting the volume, like, louder and louder.
Yeah, you know, like, when it's real Picard, Wesley is down to be in that box for fairly extended periods of time, but yeah. Like, having to listen to him bed his own mother is a bridge too far. It kind of breaks the rules of the game, you know?
That's so brutal. Yeah. So they dance around a little bit, And then at that point, Beverly is like, I feel like you're fucking with me right now. And at that point, Picard pulls one of the all-time big dog moves on her, which is like, oh, I'm not, but you may leave.
Yeah.
And like goes up to the door, opens it, and is like, gestures with his hand, like, go on.
This is the hallway. You will now go out into it.
It is stone cold.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, don't act like I want it. I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. It was brutal. And Beverly just sort of takes it with a little chagrin, right? Like,
yeah.
I think at this point she's hip to the idea that he might not be the real thing.
Yeah. The senior staff get together at Riker's quarters and start plotting a mutiny. And
can you imagine the amount of tidying up Riker had to do before that gathering?
Yeah. He probably just has a switch on the wall that puts it into ultraviolet mode so that, you know, like, he can just work in that color for a while.
Oh, man. I'm thinking that he just has a separate quarters for that. Like, the amount of regular cleanup would just be impossible to sustain.
Yeah, I mean, they only have, like, an ambassador on the ship every so often, so he can probably, and it's probably up to him, like, who gets assigned those rooms, so he can probably safely keep one of them pretty messy.
In the Fred Durst parlance, everyone is in agreeance that something's wrong with with Picard at this point, and they are just trying to figure out what to do about it.
Yeah, it's pretty inconclusive. So back in the cell, they've gotten the door, like, smashed open, and it opens up, and it's like just a sheet of metal on the other side. It's like, give me a fucking break. it's a little bit like in Return of the Jedi when they're trying to sneak in the back door of the shield generator. You know, it's like the same thing where they're it's a movie. It's like a science fiction film, and they're monkeying with this door control, and they think they've got it, and then they say they've got it, and another door closes, you know?
It's a real fuck you to their whole plan of escape.
Yeah. It's then that Picard kind of, he gets fed up, and he's done a couple of things along the way that helped him figure everything out, and one of those things was that he dropped into the conversation what planet they just came from, and the Bolian cadet lady was like, oh yeah, you guys cured that plague, that was rad, I really admire you for that. And he reveals that was a covert operation.
Starfleet has classified the Cor Caroli 5 plague as secret,
and therefore he knows that she is not who she claims to be. And so she splits into three balls of light that coalesce into three Jay Leno aliens. And they're like, yeah, Captain Picard, welcome to the show.
They just do they do 20 minutes of really hacky monologuing.
Have you seen the election?
So this Monica Lewinsky. See, I gave my Leno more of a lisp than you.
And so they're like, you guys are real dickheads for taking us here against our will, so we'd like to be taken back. And they're like,
yeah, well, you know, God, we wanted to do a little bit of an experiment, but now that we know that you know that we know that you know, we'll take you back to your ships.
Just another world-class impression by Ben Harrison.
It's
what our viewers crave.
Darmok, Angelad, Tanagra.
Good, fast, and cheap. Pick three? That's right, today's episode is sponsored in part by Factor, and Factor meals hit all three sides of the triangle. They are good. They taste really tasty, they've never been frozen, and they are chef-created, dietitian-approved meals. Fast! These meals are ready in as little as 2 minutes if you're using a microwave, or just a couple of more minutes if you're using a toaster oven. And cheap. They are very affordable and a great way to fill out your weekly meal budget with some options that are not going to break the bank. And guess what? Factor's also eco-conscious. They're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. Head to factormeals.com/scarves50 and use the code SCARVES50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code SCARVES50 at factormeals.com/scarves50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Personal grooming is less about something I do for myself, even though there are myriad reasons for that, and more about my consideration for other people who have to look at me, be around me, and on special occasions, love me physically. And when it's clear my front and back yards are becoming overgrown and unsightly, I'll break out the mower, the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra from Manscaped. This Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra is really something else. This trimmer features two interchangeable next-gen skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top, a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. Listen, spring cleaning doesn't just apply to your nether regions. Get the full grooming experience with Manscaped's signature Beard Hedger Pro Kit and Handyman Electric Face Shaver. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code SCARVES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code SCARVES at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning in your pants, right?
It's Webby season. Hi, I'm Sequoia Holmes, host of the Black People Love Paramore podcast, and we are nominated for a Webby for the episode where I interviewed Hayley Williams. In case you're unfamiliar, Black People Love Paramore is a podcast delving into the common and uncommon interests of Black people in order to help us feel more seen. We would love your vote to help us win this Webby. Please take a second, go over to the Black People Love Paramore podcast social media accounts, and you can find them at BPLP Pod across all social media platforms. Hit the link in bio and vote for Black People Love Paramore.
Hi, I'm Travis McElroy.
And I'm Teresa McElroy.
And we're the host of Schmanners.
We don't believe that etiquette should be used to judge other people.
No, on Schmanners, we see etiquette as a way to navigate social situations with confidence.
So if that sounds like something you're into,
join us every Friday on Maximum Fun, wherever you get your podcasts.
On the ship, Dot Picard has pushed the Enterprise closer and closer to this quasar. Pulsar? Pulsar.
That would be a pulsar due to its flashing lights.
It's pulsing lights. And it's enough radiation that they're going to start to lose shields pretty soon, and then everybody's just going to be cooked in their boots. And Riker has taken the extreme step of taking the captain out of control and ordering everybody to take the ship away from this threat. And, you know, because he's set it all up ahead of time, you know, Worf and Wesley and everybody are... like, all right, yeah, the captain has totally lost his mind, and he's super mental, and he's going to kill us all.
So, Wes is like, I'm finally free. Oh, thank God.
Yeah, the major bullet dodged when I was in the gimp box last night. but Picard Prime and Jay Leno show up on the bridge, and
Jay's Leno, because there's two of them, right?
I guess Dot Picard turns into a second Jay Leno.
Right.
And Picard gives Riker a little wink, and Riker does a little, like, he, like, taps a couple of buttons on the computer that's near him, and then Data and Wesley and Worf all do a little button tapping of their own.
They're on a little ICQ, like,
yeah,
chat thing.
Yeah, they send a couple, some ASCII art of Picard, of the Enterprise, of a little confinement beam.
Yeah, and the confinement beam emoji.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so they sort of like wordlessly get this confinement beam to drop, and the aliens are like, have been pretty smug about the fact that they communicate with each other telepathically. So they're pretty surprised when the Enterprise crew is able to wordlessly set up this trap for them.
With a single look, I was able to inform my crew that I wanted to hold you here.
But why?
Because I've decided to conduct an experiment of my own.
And I guess they're like super advanced aliens that are trying to study the idea of power and morality and all of these things that are alien to them because they're all identical and they all communicate telepathically. Like, I guess they're kind of Borg-like in a way, right? Like they sort of don't have any like individual identity.
Yeah, I didn't draw that comparison until you brought it up. Huh. Yeah, I guess that works for me.
I guess they're Borg-like in all but desire to assimilate things.
Their interest in hack comedy.
Yeah, their monologue jokes are a lot worse than the Borgs also.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they like trap them and it like teaches them a little lesson about how annoying it is to be trapped. And then they like let them beam themselves off the ship and Picard gives the order to head toward the USS Hood and continue with their mission. And they're on their way when the doctor comes aboard the ship and is like, "Hi, Captain." And there's a little slide whistle.
Yeah, Riker's like, it's really great to have you back, sir. Picard's like, what did this other guy do in my place? And Riker's like, oh, nothing. Like, with a knowing look.
Yeah.
And that's when you get that timpani sound, that rolling timpani, that boom. Yeah. Another slide whistle to closing credits we get on this one.
Very strange.
This show fails a lot when it attempts that little finger in the cheek at the very end, like in the last 5 seconds.
Totally.
Did this episode change your opinion of their ability to do that?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
It was so weird and tone deaf because it wasn't like he and the doctor actually did anything. And all she would have to, like, she wasn't on the bridge when it came clear that that was Da Picard.
Yeah.
So when Picard Prime is back, she has, like, it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. Ben, if there were proof that one of us were abducted by aliens and we were just returned by those aliens and everyone saw it, there's proof of it. Like, this actually happened. Would you just be able to continue on with your day? Like, like Picard's in the seat ready to go meet the USS Hood.
Yeah, he's like, let's get out of here. I've been shitting in the corner for 3 days.
Yeah.
With nothing to wipe with.
They would have to debrief him and give him a box of wipes.
Yeah, like, debrief in multiple ways.
Yeah. It's incredible. And especially because this is the second time that he's been replaced by a Da Picard.
Yeah.
Like, why does this keep happening? Why are they totally uninterested in doing anything to prevent this from happening again? Your iPhone has a thing that it regularly does that makes sure that you are who you are when you unlock it.
Sure.
The Enterprise doesn't even have that for its captain. Like, the captain can order the ship and the crew to do anything. There is no swipe and unlock on any of that stuff.
Well, Adam, that kind of ties into my drunk Shimoda.
Hey, Ben.
What's that?
Real or doppelganger, did you find yourself a drunk Shimoda in this episode? Drunk
Shimoda! I did, Adam, as it
did you find a dop Shimoda?
I did, and it was doppelganger Picard. I mean, the plan that he has is insane. There's so much about this character that doesn't make sense. One of the things is, like, he seems to know a lot about, like, what kind of people are on the ship, what roles they serve. Like, he has full functional knowledge. Like, at some point, he asked Geordi to, like, get the engine efficiency up to 95%. Like, that's, like, that's a detailed level of knowledge of what role you're playing. So he's not, like, somebody that looks like Picard, but is trying to, like, pick it up as he goes.
Yeah.
So, like, what are the parameters of his deception? Does he know everything that Picard knows? Does he know the command codes to set the ship to self-destruct? If so, what's the point of going to this quasar and making everybody, like, be aware of their impending death while radiation builds? Is that part of the experiment or something?
I don't know, dude.
It just doesn't make any sense. Like, what the fuck is the point of this crazy quasar trip? Pulsar. Damn it.
These Jay Leno aliens are fucking stupid.
They're idiots.
Because if they want the maximum amount of time to study real Picard and then the crew's experience with Da Picard, like, why have Da Picard steer the ship into a situation that's going to kill everyone? Like, why don't you have Da Picard lay back in the cut, being really chill, to give real Picard the maximum amount of time in that isolation chamber, in that prison?
Or, like, if Da Picard is going to go make them do something that's going to get everybody killed, why act super weird around the time that that's happening also, you know? Do it, make it seem plausible that this is like some actual Starfleet business that we're going and conducting.
It's like he's not even trying.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good Shimoda. My Shimoda was going to be Patrick Stewart himself. Just in the spirit of drunk Shimoda, he seems like he's having the most fun, really playing with character. With a character that he has portrayed for now 3.5 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't see the strings because he's a better actor than that. But, like, to see a great actor do this kind of work, I mean, he wasn't given a ton to do, but he made some choices here that I thought were great.
Yeah. He really shades. It's like the chiaroscuro of evil doppelganger characters. He really, makes it an interesting marginal shift.
Yeah. No one's having more fun than him, and he gets to play both sides of the coin, and he does it really well. I thought that was awesome.
I agree.
I am the cutest of all. Lock faces on that vessel. I am the cutest of all. There are four lights.
What do we have coming up on the next episode, Ben?
Episode 19 of Season 3, Captain's Holiday. While on vacation, Picard becomes entangled in the search for a missing weapon from the future. Another time travel episode.
Oh, goody. I know how you love those.
Love them. Do you remember this episode at all?
This is a Risa episode, yeah?
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Risa is just basically the Edo planet with a little bit more clothing, right? That's all?
A dab. They'd be
best friend planets, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Sister planets. Yeah, and I guess, like, they probably aren't constantly looking for a reason to give you a lethal injection on Risa.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's a little more chill than that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited for this one.
They might also be a little bit more tolerant of cultures that aren't blonde-haired and blue-eyed.
Oh, yeah. That was the deep, dark vein of the Edo, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've solved all of our crime problems by not mixing races.
Yeah, we would not be welcome on the Edo planet, that's for sure.
Yeah.
For a lot of reasons. All right, well, we have to watch it.
We do. We don't have any vetoes.
That much is assured. You know what's also assured, Ben?
What's that, Adam?
This show's continued survival thanks to the support of our great viewership.
If any of
our viewers would like to support the show, they can go to MaximumFun.org/donate. They can also pop us with a nice 5-star review on their podcast listening device of choice.
That's a big help. It helps people find the show. We should thank Adam Ragusea for our Priority One music and Dark Materia for our theme music. Special episode today referencing the theme music.
That's a lot
of fun. If you'd like to talk about the show online, there's lots of places to go. There's a subreddit for Greatest Gen. There's also the Maximum Fun subreddit. You can use the hashtag Greatest Gen on Twitter. You can follow Adam at Cut for Time or me at Benjamin AHR. You can go on Facebook. There's a Greatest Generation Facebook group, and there's also a page that you can like. I've been trying to get better about posting these little videos that have like a clip of audio and little waveform.
A clip of our funnies.
Yeah, and I have no idea if this is going to work, but if you share those on your Facebook page or retweet them on Twitter or whatever, I think that there's a chance that helps new people find the show, and that would be really great for us.
Yeah. Let's bring some more people into this big tent. Shall we?
I think we shall.
Well, that was a great pod, Ben.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun talking about Star Trek The Next Generation with you, Adam. And we're going to be back next time with another great episode of Star Trek The Next Generation. and a sunscreen-smelling episode of The Greatest Generation.
I love that smell.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener support.